You know Schneider has led the trucking industry for 80 years. And you know Schneider has the widest variety of driving career options. But have you recently searched all of Schneider's career opportunities near you? At Schneider, we've made it easier than ever. Visit SchneiderJobs.com, enter your zip code, and click search. That's it. Don't miss out on the driving career you've always wanted. Visit SchneiderJobs.com, enter your zip code, and search. That's SchneiderJobs.com.
He tells you 6:30:15.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. This is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here.
Turn on a firework
on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, the Wolves regular season will wrap up at Allstate Arena this Saturday at 7, Sunday at 4.
When you look at his numbers last year, you really put him in that elite category. And the challenge for Jake is to do it again this season. I think there are a lot of people around baseball who wonder if he really has made that next step. And it remains to be seen, but I really liked what I saw last week in his first outing.
That's Cubs broadcaster Len Casper with Mully and Hanley talking about tonight's starter, Jake Arrieta. You can hear that entire interview at 670thescore.com. When the Reds take on the Cubs this evening at Wrigley, they will send Anthony DeSclafani to the mound. The White Sox open a two-game set in Cleveland. Jose Quintana, Carlos Carrasco are the starters. Pre-game show on The Score with Chris Ronji starts at 5:35. Elsewhere in baseball, Alex Rios has a broken left hand. He's out indefinitely for the Kansas City Royals. Hockey, Patrick Kane will play tomorrow night as the Hawks open up the playoffs at Nashville. The Bulls are off today. They wrap up the regular season tomorrow night at the UC with the Atlanta Hawks, and the Bears will meet tomorrow with Jameis Winston. Listen to the Scorecard Golf Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. to hear the latest on the Chicago golf scene. The Scorecard Golf Show is brought to you by the BMW Championship. The BMW Championship is back at Conway Farms this September. Visit BMWChampionship.com for more information. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on The Score is today at 5:35 when the Sox take on the Indians on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Boers and Bernstein. Afternoons on The Score.
He's put Winston up under center. No, throw it. End zone, jump ball, touchdown!
I think that we were incredibly clear about our expectations of anybody who enters the NFL or is in the NFL. What we expect of them as men and what they, how they represent not only their franchise but also the NFL. We met with several people. The conversation was very candid. Extremely candid, and I think this is a young man who understands his responsibility, and now it's up to him to live to that.
Boers and Bernstein.
John Croce.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
302. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Boers and Bernstein, we've been talking for the last hour or so about Jameis Winston, apparently very differing views on the kid.
And now we go to the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He used to cover the Bears here in Chicago, but now writer and author John Chris working on a book about the history of FSU football. Now, it always has been, frankly, a Florida State expert and can tell us, hi, John, that the help us separate here the signal from the noise and what is real about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and everything they seem to have indicated about their desire to draft Winston.
Fellas, first of all, good to talk to you again. And go ahead, Dan, you can call me a homer. It's okay.
I didn't.
That's
I
what he's doing, John. That's what he's doing. You know why? Because he's a penis. So he, you understand that, though. You know that.
I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy. I can take it. As you guys know, I'm actually now a resident of Tampa, so I'm very close to the organization, got some friends there. And I feel like I've heard a little bit of the scuttlebutt here locally. Frankly, I would be shocked if Jameis Winston is not number one overall. You guys know as well as I do that the closer we get to the draft, the more noise there is out there, teams putting out misinformation. They're telling you they love this guy when he's probably off their board entirely. They're telling you they don't like so-and-so, even though they can't wait to draft them. They're simply trying to make the value of their picks as much as possible, maybe field some offers from desperate teams down in the draft order. So that being said, there are some questions about Jameis Winston off the field. They've been talked about ad nauseum for at least a year now. So if he does have one of these Aaron Rodgers type drops down the first round, I suppose the Bears have to be prepared, which is why they want to talk to him tomorrow.
And I guess that's what we were getting at in a discussion that Terry and I were just having about where one meets the other. And I understand that it's very easy to look at on-field, off-field. But for me, when you're committing that kind of money to a guy who plays that position, there has to be a general level of trust in someone's maturity, or he's got to be so spectacular, so amazing, a generational talent that you can say, I'll figure the rest of it out. I'm not sure, one, that I trust him and that he's really good enough to merit that leap of faith. What do you think?
Well, if I had to talk about those specific points you bring up, I would lean more toward, yes, he's a generational talent versus I know I can 100% trust him. Now, he does have some issues out there. I am of the belief, I still have friends in the organization. I still see Coach Fisher from time to time. Most of the transgressions from young Mr. Winston are innocent type things, him just being a 19, 20, 21-year-old knucklehead, where he's, you know, stealing a little soda from a Burger King or walking out of a Publix with some crab legs or getting into an air rifle fight with some football players at an apartment complex. I mean, these are the young, dumb things that college kids do. So I think most of that is fairly innocent. That being said,
yeah, the rape thing is not, though.
Right.
Yeah.
That, of course, yeah. Isn't. You know, I didn't want to, you know, that's a he said situation. No one's ever going to truly know what happened. I just know that the long arm of the law, both at the school and locally, they decided not to press charges. They decided he did not break the code of conduct. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's sealed and you have to move on from that. But in terms of the actual talent, I do think he is a once-in-a-generation guy. Mm. Keep in mind that he came after E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel was in the program for 5 years, you know, tall, strong, everything you look for. He was a first-round draft pick to the Bills. And quite frankly, when you talk to Jimbo, you're kind of between the lines, he could not wait for E.J. Manuel to graduate because he knew he had Winston waiting in the wings, and he was going to be doubly as good as Manuel ever dreamed to be.
Yeah, and Manuel has turned out to be a nothing. I mean, if you you're making a trade to start Kyle Orkman, then you, sir, have drafted the wrong quarterback. Even though they got him a little later in the first round, John. I mean, it still seems that's the wrong idea, that E.J. Manuel, and I remember him very well. You know, to be honest with you, I liked him a little. I didn't love him, and I mean, I'm sort of stuck in the same on Winston. I love his football IQ. I know people say, what football IQ? And I said, well, I we were just talking about it. I said, it's there when you watch him. All the knucklehead stuff you talk about doesn't manifest itself when he's on that field.
Terry, you're absolutely correct. You know, off the field, again, he can just be a bonehead. He can be an immature kid who doesn't realize how big the spotlight is on him, and it's only going to be magnified when he starts playing on Sunday or day. But in terms of the X's and O's and understanding the game at hand, I honestly think he's a savant. I mean, the kid just turns into John Nash when he puts that helmet on. I mean, E.J. Manuel, again, was in this program for 5 years, and he never truly fully grasped Jimbo Fisher's offense. He runs an incredibly complex scheme that is very difficult at the college level with protections and reads and route combinations and all the types of adjustments he has to make at the line of scrimmage. Jimbo is incredibly demanding on his quarterback. He played the position himself. And Jameis played his very first game as a redshirt freshman on the road against Pittsburgh. And in one game, he was better than Manuel ever was. So I do think you put him on the field between the lines. He's a natural-born leader. He's big and strong. He can make every throw imaginable. He's a little more mobile than you give him credit for, than people tend to give him credit for. Yes, there is reason to have some trepidation because he keeps getting into trouble. You keep wondering when he's going to wake up and stop with the nonsense. But in terms of what comes out of that right arm of his, I do think he's an Andrew Luck type, once-in-a-generation type of guy.
Wow. Now, if you were the Bears and you know that at this point in the whole pre-draft run-up, he has answered so many questions. He has practiced his responses. He is a packaged product now where there are automatic responses to some of these questions. If you were working for the Bears, how would you go about interviewing? What would you want to know and how would you ask it?
You know what? You're very right about the fact that he has been guarded. He has He hasn't necessarily been 100% open and honest about all the things that have happened in the past. Of course, the sexual assault is what I'm referring to. You know, he's obviously got legal counsel that's told him, don't say a word. The law has left you alone now, so just don't say a word. I think I just want to ask what he's going to do going forward, because the past is the past, and you're not drafting the kid who got in trouble at 19 or 20 years old. You're drafting him to be the face of the franchise for the next 10 years in a quarterback-starved city right now. Let's just be honest. And you have to be comfortable with this guy, and you have to find out what he's going to do with his NFL career going forward. How's he going to be like in the locker room? How's he going to be like on the team playing? How's he going to be like in the offseason when it comes to doing activities and going to schools on Tuesdays and things of that nature? I want to find out what he's going to be like, the kind of inner circle he's going to keep, the types of things he wants to do with his money from a charity perspective, who he's going to live with, the family he's going to have close, because you know they're a long way down in lower Alabama. Those are the types of questions I want to ask, in part because, as you suggest, Dan, he's not going to open up too much about the past. He's not going to crack about that stuff because he's been instructed not to.
Do you have any feel about which direction? You mentioned a lot of things there, just direction he goes on some of this stuff. I mean, where's your confidence level that what we've seen is just being a knucklehead? I mean, I was a knucklehead, then I'm a knucklehead now. It's never gotten any better. But, I mean, that he has learned from this. Every time you think he's learned from something, he does something else. But your belief in him, you've done a little bit of research on him. Does he go forward and become all the things we were talking about? You know, and you just mentioned about he's the man of the franchise. He's the leader. He's the face of the franchise. You got to act this way. You got to do this.
Or is he another college con man?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question, because you know, is he just Johnny Manziel who gets in front of the lights and makes a mistake and then says all the pre-programmed things and makes everybody happy, and you think he's moved on and matured, but all of a sudden he's in trouble again? It's hard to say. I mean, no one's going to say that definitively, because as you alluded to, during his Florida State career, he would have one transgression, he would seem to move past it, he would say all the right things, and then a month later something pops up. I know that most of them tend to be innocent. If he wasn't a reigning national champion and Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, a lot of it wouldn't even be noticed, but I don't think he truly understood the spotlight that was on him. So I honestly believe the way I describe him from the little amount of time I've spent around him, the people I know in that program, I think he's a class clown, which is a little weird for a quarterback. Usually these guys are they're CEO types, and they're used to being, you know, the king of the hill, and they have this just supreme confidence, and they're leaders of men, and they're not used to being the cut up in the back in the classroom. And that's sort of what Jameis is. He doesn't, even though he appreciates what it's like to be the leader on the field, he likes to hang out with the backup offensive lineman. You know, when he's getting interviewed right after a game, he loves to talk about, you know, the slot receiver and the wide receivers coach and their contributions. He's not really a me guy. He loves to share that spotlight. So it's just hard to know if he's truly going to break through and get it at the NFL level. I'm confident that he will. And as you talked about, Dan, a while back, you have to, if you believe he is this generational talent that makes you 4, 5, 6 wins better just by being in the lineup, you have to sort of roll the dice and say, hey, I hope he wakes up. I hope he grows up, because the talent is too much to turn down.
I want to ask you, too, about the Florida State offense that he ran, because it's very easy when we're contrasting it with all these BS rinky-dink college offenses that don't give us any ability to scout quarterbacks anymore.
That it
looks pro-ish, but that doesn't mean that the playbook is a pro-style playbook. I mean, just because he's under center, just because he is taking a 5-step drop and planting a foot in the ground instead of running all the silly stuff, it doesn't mean that he is running the same plays. Based on your knowledge of what's going on, about how he's expected to read things, is it the Stanford-style offense? Is it really that professional?
I think it's as close as you can get. I really do. And all you have to do is turn on the tape of the college football semifinal game between Florida State and Oregon. And it's strange to hear me say that, because Florida State got blown out 59-20. But if you simply cut up the tape and look at the highlights of the types of throws Winston was making versus what Mariota was making, most of the highlights of Mariota making his big plays, you know, he's doing it in a hurry-up offense. The defensive line is sucking wind. They're not even rushing the passer anymore. He's got all day to sit back there, and then he lobs it up to some wide receiver who's wide open by 10 yards. But if you look at what Winston was doing, even in that game, half the throws he makes The receiver hasn't even turned his head around yet. He's anticipating openings. He's sliding protection. He's moving in the pocket. He's keeping his eyes downfield. He's, like I said before, he's a savant when it comes to understanding what a defense is trying to do, how to exploit it. He's incredibly accurate. He knows how to throw his receiver open, go to the back shoulder, go high, go low. He's put these things on display, you know, from the moment he put on that uniform as a freshman. I think that's the difference between him and Mariota. I'm not saying Mariota can't be a fantastic NFL player, but if you're talking about a guy who can step out there tomorrow and be Pro Bowl caliber in terms of zinging the football around the field and understanding the game in the film room on the whiteboard, I'd take Winston over Mariota right now.
Okay. See, it's interesting because Mariota, we know all of a sudden would appear, and now although Tennessee denies it, Tennessee said is denying that. But isn't Mariota going to go no worse than six, if nothing else, would say no deals happen? I mean, just because the way we are with quarterbacks, and I have no idea. I'm with you. I watch him play. I get nothing out of it. I get no pro look at all in my mind. I don't see it. He's not in the huddle, and I see these the offense that's run, and I don't know if he can do it or not. But he's going to be taken, too. We're talking about the importance of quarterback, what it means to these guys these days, and even somebody that is like him, tremendous athlete, fast as hell, does all this stuff, and we're really not sure of any of it. You know damn well he's going somewhere in the top 10. He's not sticking around to where he probably should be drafted.
Yeah, there's no way he escapes the Jets at six, and chances are he probably goes number two after Winston, either to Tennessee or somebody deciding, you know, they have to make a Godfather offer to go up and get him. And we've had a very tumultuous season in the NFL this year. If anything, that has helped a guy like Mariota, because he is such a good kid off the field. You have no concerns whatsoever about what you're getting from him off the field. I think he has a whole lot of talent, but I'm just talking about the NFL readiness.
Yes. Yeah.
He's gonna get that playbook when he goes to OTAs, and it's going to look a heck of a lot different than what he was running up there in Oregon. For Florida State and what they were doing, it's going to look fairly similar in terms of the drops, the protections, the route combinations, the reads, the calls. It's going to be much more similar, so that's why I think Winston can